Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, as we get ready to move forward in the Word of God. And the word that God gave me this morning is history unknown or history forgotten. It's history repeated. And in our word, our Old Testament word today, we're going to talk about the tribe of Benjamin and their almost extinction. They're almost extinction because they forgot history. They forgot how to be men of God instead of men of the world. They forgot about Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah because of inhospitality, because of not doing what's right before visitors, and not following God and His purpose for our life. So many things go on in our life when we don't do what's right before God. And unfortunately, the tribe of Benjamin found it out, and with the consequences of a group of bad people doing bad things, it caused a whole nation to almost fall. The whole tribe and nation of Benjamin almost fell, and Israel almost lost its 12 tribes because of a few bad men. Excuse me, y'all, having a little bit of a moment this morning. But I know that God is in charge, and we're going to pray. We're going to trust, and we're going to believe that everything is going to work for our good. Getting a little tea this morning. God is good all the time, and I trust in Him for health and for everything. God is everything. When we believe, when we trust, and when we know that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we remember the history of our people. Never forget where you come from. Never forget your upbringing. Never forget that God brought you through. Never forget the Lord. History unknown, history not remembered, is history that can easily be repeated. So let's get started in our word this morning. Father God in heaven, we are thanking you for waking us up this morning. We are thanking you for giving us another day, a do-over, God, because you didn't have to. Lord God, I lift up this word this morning that it will make people think, will touch hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear it will want to be doers of it, and those that know it, that it will touch their hearts, their minds, and their spirits and remind them why they chose you and why you have chosen them to continue working in the kingdom. Father God, I pray for those that have lost loved ones, wives that have lost husbands, children that have lost fathers, mothers and fathers that have lost sons and daughters, and daughters and sons that have lost mothers and fathers and children. Father God, I ask you to bless bereaved families today. I ask you to lift them up and give them strength today. And Father God, I ask you to surround them in your loving wings. And Father God, as they move forward, let them move forward in faith that you love their loved one death. For they will be different. They will be changed. But Lord God, they will know that you are God and that all things work for our good and that you are the one that chooses whose time it is. But only you know the day and the hour of every man and woman and child. And so, Father, we ask you on this day to bless those that have gone before and bless those that are left behind. And, Father God, as we move forward in your word, let our hearts be open to receive a word from you. And, Father God, as I pray every day, thank you. And I let you know that I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be your daughter and to be given an opportunity to serve your kingdom in the reading and teaching and meditation of your word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And as we move forward, Lord, please increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father, are my strength and my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you, Lord. So as you increase and I decrease, Lord God, I ask the Holy Spirit to permeate the airwaves, to permeate the media, to permeate hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear this word and our doers of this word will move forward in you, in Jesus' name, and that they will have a great day because they started their day in your presence in meditation. But your word tells us to meditate on it day and night. So, Father God, as we meditate this morning, I pray that our hearts are touched in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, y'all. Got a little tickle this morning, but I'm all good. I am blessed beyond measure because I am a child of God, and he has not forgotten me. Hallelujah. I feel good, as they say this morning. I feel pretty good. And I thank you all for your prayers, who have prayed for me during my illness. I'm good. Thanking God for good doctors and for those that are your blessing. And I am grateful for my goddaughter, who I just call my daughter. I'm grateful for her for being the most awesome doctor that anyone could ever have. I thank God for bringing her into my life, and she has changed it, and I am grateful. And she is, I see now why I hear so many compliments about her as a physician. She is a pretty awesome one, and I am thankful. And this is the word of God coming out of the book of Judges. And we start, first and foremost, with Micah. And this is not the prophet Micah. This is a different Micah. And when we look at Micah, he is in a period of time where there are no kings of Judah. There's nobody really to lead the people. So they kind of do whatever they want to do. There's no teacher, preacher telling them the commandments. So they've forgotten them. And Micah and his mother make graven images. You know, they do what's wrong in the sight of God. And it's just a continuation as we go through our word on history forgotten. Not just about the wickedness of Benjamin, but overall in this lesson in our Old Testament, is history forgotten. The commandments forgotten. The laws of hospitality forgotten. Excuse me. Levites forgetting their duties. toward the people of God. So much going on. A tribe of Dan not doing their job in going and getting their stuff that they were promised, going into the land and taking it over that they were promised. They're just kind of wandering along. Brother against brother. Israel against a tribe, and to the point of, like I said earlier, almost annihilation of Benjamin because of wickedness of a few, but it created problems for the whole. It's vows being made and having to look to figure out how to change the course of a tribe because you made a vow. All these things are happening in this Old Testament lesson. It's a lot to unpack, so we're going to get started. And, you know, as we get into our New Testament, we're going to be finishing up Luke chapter 18 Luke chapter 18, where the rich man could not move forward and got sorrowful because he had so much that he couldn't give up anything to follow Jesus. So, again, so many different things going on that, you know, we deal with faith. We dealt with so much. It's a lot to unpack, but a whole lot of it still boils down to history forgotten is history repeated. So let's get into the word. Please join me in Judges chapter 17 through chapter 19, verse 30. Our psalm for today is the 51st psalm. Verses 7 through 11. Our proverb today is Proverbs chapter 14, verses 33 through 35, and the completion of Luke chapter 18, verses 24 through 43. So let's get started. Please join me in Judges chapter 17. My King James readers, you should be able to follow along without any issue because I am coming out of New King James. There's only a few things that are different. When I listen to the Bible, I listen in King James and follow in New King James myself just to kind of make sure that it all flows well. And this, for my King James readers, it should be fine for you. There may be a few words different here or there, but the context is still the same. And it says this, "Now there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and on which you put a curse, even saying it in my ears, here is the silver with me. I took it.' And his mother said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my son.' So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, 'I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image, commandment forgotten, and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return to you.' Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest." Again, totally against what God had said to Moses, to the Levites, to the children of Israel. This is against God. "Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. The man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said to him, 'Where do you come from?' So he said to him, 'I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I am on my way to find a place to stay.' Micah said to him, 'Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes, and your sustenance.' So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite. Again, he cannot consecrate a Levite. He's not a Levite. You know, he is not in position. But he consecrates, and the Levite, who should know better, being a Levite, should have come and brought the word of God with him. He should have come and given him the commandments of God. He should have come to teach Micah instead of allowing Micah to consecrate him as a priest. He was already of the priestly class. And it says, so Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest. All of this is wrong. The whole thing is wrong. And, you know, as I look at here at the life lessons for chapter 17, the life lessons, it says the first one is Judges 17:3, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image. This woman tried to wed idolatry with the worship of the true God. But we cannot serve God in anything else. We cannot worship God in something else. The Lord deserves our exclusive devotion. Matthew 6:24. We're going to go over to Matthew 6:24 really quick this morning. You know, this word really touched my heart because I'm like, oh, God, we've got to teach the truth as pastors and ministers and teachers. So many times we get caught up in the world, and this is wrong. You know, you look at it, and you're like, this is not right. This is not of God. This, you know, when I started reading this, I said, whoa. And then, you know, this is my, you know, second or third time around reading the whole entire scriptures. But every time I come through, I learn something new. And I thought, wow, God, this is, you've given us a lesson that history, unknown is history repeated. We've got to read the word of God. And the word of God in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve. I want to go strictly to, this is a King James. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We just read that not too long ago. And in Luke as well as in Matthew, we've got to be very careful that we don't put God in a spot with idolatry. And as we continue, this woman didn't know she was doing wrong. That's the thing, because she didn't know her history, because there was nobody there teaching them what they should and should not do, which is why we have to tell the truth. Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Does that sound familiar? People are doing whatever they want to do. They doing me. You do you. I think I've heard that more times than not. You do you. He's doing, they're doing themselves. They're this, they're that. It's all about me. It's a Me Too movement. It's about nobody talking about God. You got to talk about God. You've got to tell the truth of a man. And it says, in those days, there was no king. Again, in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Moses had warned against every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. And we're going to go over to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 12. This is a good word. This is a teaching word this morning. But we have got to know our history. It is too important. Too many times folks will lie and distort, and the next thing you know, you all confused. But we got to go to the word of God, and we got to read it on a daily basis. We got to study it and meditate on it, just like the Lord said, daily. Meditate on the word day and night. Because it is important. It is important for your survival. And then Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man, whoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as ye came to the rest and to the inheritance, which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land with the Lord your, with the Lord your God giveth you in it to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies around about, so that ye dwell in safety. God, he's telling folks, don't do you. Let's go back up to verse number 7. It says, and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own sight. Ye are not as yet come to rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. You cannot do what you think is right in your own eyes. You got to do what's right in the eyes of God. And as we go over to verse 17, and it says, but when God's people refuse to obey him, there's exactly what starts to happen. And the rest is chaos, as Judges proved. We got chaos in Judges. And that's what we're going through right now. Judges 17 and 13 says, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as priest. The word of God makes clear that God's blessings does not come because a proper ritual or special connection to religious people. God blessings come on those who obey him. We are not all, you know, well, you know, I'm connected with my pastor. I'm connected with this religious organization. I'm connected with, well, I go to church at, and I do this and that. You know, we have to understand that everything that we do for God. It is not have to, it is not about who pastor such and such is, or sister such and such is, or first lady such and such, or the such and such family. It is about God. We can't just flock to the church du jour, because you don't know, you might be flocking to hell. You get there and everybody, the music is hopping and folks are shouting and the singing is going on. But then you have 5 minutes of word and the pastor never opens up the word of God. Gets up, whoops, hollers, runs and spits. And you say, ooh, pastor, show did he preach today? And when you ask, what scripture did he preach on? Oh, well, he just preached his own word. Okay. Bible up and out. Thank you. No, if the word of God is not open, or if the word of God is taken out of context, that's why you read it yourself. Because we got to know what thus says the Lord and why did God say this. That's why I read, when I went to Deuteronomy, I read above and I read beneath verse 8 to get you in the understanding, the context. Just because everything is going fine now, don't get into that place where you want to do you. To summarize what Moses said. And that's what they're doing now. Whatever they want to do. They done took the word of God and got it all twisted. Well, I'm going to make this little image and I'm going to make me a little shrine and I'm going to pray to it. No, uh-uh. No pictures of Jesus or what is perceived to be Jesus on the wall. You know, and if you wear a cross, you know, because some of us do, you know, understand that Jesus is not on the cross. He's already hung there. He's already died. He's already risen. This is just a reminder that sin, your sin was taken to the cross. That's it. But don't worship that little piece of jewelry around your neck, because that's idolatry. And in all honesty, maybe you shouldn't even be wearing it. And I'm speaking to me too. You know, but I use it as a reminder. Remember, Jesus died on this for you, for your sin. But I ain't going to worship it. I worship Jesus, and I worship the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Come on now. And it says in chapter 18 of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. In those days the tribe of Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. But until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. Now they hadn't gone and taken their allotment during the time of Joshua. So now we're talking hundreds of years later, and they still haven't got their homeland. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zoar to Esau, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the five men departed and went to Laish. And they saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren Azor and Eshtor, and their brothers said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land. Indeed, it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it unto your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." And the 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zoar to Eshtaol, armed in weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Karjath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called the place of Manai there to this day. There it is west of Karjath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brother, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, and carved images?" There we go with idolatry again. "And a molded image. Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod and the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men, who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you should be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the household idols and the carved image and took his place among the people. So not only did he not tell the truth, he now is involved with idolatry and thievery. Now, so they already, two commandments, if not more, have been, "Thou shalt not covet." They just took all his stuff. "Thou shalt not have any other god before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or molded images." Come on now. "Thou shalt not lie. And thou shalt not steal." All these things, commandments being broken here and there and everywhere. History unknown. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, and the men who were in the house near Micah's house gathered and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you? What you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now that, what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you?" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, these angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things of Micah had made, the things that Micah had made, and the priests who had belonged to him, and went to Laish. to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and dwelt there, and they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. When the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved images, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time, and the house of God was in Shiloh. Totally out of order, because they didn't remember the commandments of God. History unknown is history repeated. Chapter 19, and this to me is one of the saddest books in this, in Judges. This was the saddest, the sad chapter, if you look, because this is the one that reminds you of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the one that reminds you of decadence and sickness that can come upon some folks, that they don't mind doing evil things, horrible things, and that some folks who think they're in the right can also be just as guilty as the ones that were in the wrong. So let's read the word. And it said, and it came to pass, Judges chapter 19. In those days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levi staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So she brought him into her father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days, so that they ate and drank and lodged there. Then it came to pass on the 4th day that they arose early in the morning, and he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with a morsel or bread, and afterwards go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, please be content to stay all night and let your heart be merry. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him to lodge there again. And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. But the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And when the man stood to depart, and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, look, the day is now drawing towards evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here, that the heart may be merry tomorrow. Go your way early, so that you may get home. However, the young man was not willing to spend that night. So he rose and departed and came opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. With him were the 2 saddle donkeys, his concubine was also with him. They were near Jebus, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his master, come, please let us turn aside into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. But his master said to him, we will not turn aside here into a city of foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. So we will go on to Geba. So he said to his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places and spend the night in Geba or in Ramah. And they passed by and went their way, and the sun went down on them near Geba, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there to go into Lot in Geba. And there he went in, and he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Just then, an old man came in from his work in the field at evening, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying in Geba, whereas the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the traveler in the open square of the city, and the old man said, where are you going, and where did you come from? So he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I'm going to the house of the Lord, but there is no one who will take me into his house. Although we have both straw and fodder for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant, there is no lack of anything. And the old man said, peace be with you. However, let all your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. Because old man knew something was up with this community. So he brought him into his house and gave fodder to the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. In other words, bring out the man so we can rape him. But the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly, seeing the man has come into my house. Do not commit this outrage. Look, here we go again, making women less than anything. You can have my virgin daughter. You can have his concubine. You know, it don't matter because they're just women. You know, misogyny at its worst, and I'm just calling it like it is. But in that day, that's just what it was. It says, look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. But the men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine, brought her out to them, and they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the woman came as the day was dawning, and fell down at the door of the man's house, where her master was, till it was light. When her master rose in the morning and opened the door of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine falling at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up and let us be going. Now, she's just been abused all night and murdered, and he has no clue. Get up, let's go. I don't care that you've been treated like less than a dog. But remember, what did it say back in the day? There was a Levite stand in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem and Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah. So she wasn't all good. And so I think a little of this, just throwing her out to the wolves, was a little revenge. You know, just me saying that, but it was a little of abuse up in there, because why was she doing what she did unless there was something else going on in the household? Why she run to her daddy's house? Why was she playing the harlot up there? And so now he just threw her out. Well, you played the harlot before, so now be the harlot kind of thing. It's some awful stuff going on in this book. And then as we go on, it says, then his master rose in the morning, opened the door of the house, and went out to go his way. There was his concubine following the door of the house with her hands on the threshold, and he said to her, get up and let us be going. But there was no answer, so the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife. Now, this is some sick old man. Laid all of his concubine, divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, so no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the city of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until the day. Consider it, confer, and speak up. What sickness is this? Whew. And let's go to a life lesson said. The man took his concubine and brought her out to them. When everyone does what is right in his own eyes, before long, moral conditions sink to the perverted level of Sodom. Genesis 19:1-8. We need the word of God to show us the right way. And this is some life questions that we'll get to after we get through our Psalms. Life questions will come if we have time. Well, I want to get through the rest of our word this morning. But again, history unknown, history repeated. Psalm, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. We got to repent and ask God to give us a clean, create in me. Make it personal. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a righteous spirit within me. We got to talk to God and say, do not cast me away from your presence. Because we got to spend time with God. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Ooh, we got to ask God to keep that light in us that is the Holy Spirit to keep us from perversity and from darkness. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And it says wisdom in our proverb today, 14-33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. That understanding is God's word. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation. Can you hear that? Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. A few can change the course of a nation. A few can mess up some things. A few can cause an insurrection. A few can cause anarchy to reign. A few can cause a nation to fall. Just like when we get into our word tomorrow, you will see what happens to Benjamin because of these perverted men that did an evil thing and a priest that decides to cut up the evidence and send it all over. If he was sick, and they were sick, that's what I'm saying. And it says, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. We got to know our word, and we got to study and meditate on it day and night. And now we're going to get into our New Testament where we're finishing up Luke chapter 18 this morning, and we'll be in Luke chapter 19 tomorrow. And it says this, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? Because remember, on yesterday's word, the little rich young man, he did everything. Jesus asked him, he said, you know, I follow the commandments. You know, I do everything I give to the poor. I'm going to go back real quick. And it says in verse 30 in chapter 18, verse number 18. And it says, now certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, now how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's the word. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That's a highlightable. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to him, said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished, for he will be delivered into the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This thing was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road, begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we know that's blind Bartimaeus. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Oh, thanks. Bartimaeus didn't play. You know, even though in Luke he doesn't call him by name, we know that that was blind Bartimaeus, and he had faith that he was going to get his sight. We got to have faith that we will get our spiritual sight from God. We got to have faith that we will get our physical sight from God. We got to have faith that God can and God will, because what does the word say? With man. What is it? Ooh, come on, y'all. Go with me there. Things which are impossible with men are possible with God. A man may tell you, oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you. But God can say, yes, I can. All you have to do is have faith that I will heal your body, that I will give you a voice to speak, that I will give you eyes to see, that I will give you ears to hear, that I will give you a mouth to speak, and that membrane behind your teeth will only be used for good and not for bad. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say in Luke 18:34, life lesson, they understood none of these things. Why did the disciples so frequently misunderstand Jesus' words? Can we blame faulty expectations, disobedience, or some other cause? Luke says the truth was hidden from them. Those who really want to know will persevere to reach understanding. Comes from meditating and studying the word of God day and night. This book is your lifeline. This book will take you where you need to go to do what you need to do for God. And it says, what should I do? These are our life questions from our strong word this morning. And then we will get into our prayer and a word from my sister Carolyn. And it says, it's safe to say that not a believer alive today has avoided those desert times. When he or she just didn't feel the presence of God, been there, done that. Got the Lord, where are you t-shirt. It's a problem that all of us have confronted at some point along the way. Even King David, who was a man after God's heart, knew what it was like to feel isolated from God. No doubt it's why he wrote, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The 51st Psalm is a book that we should all have as our highlightable. Many factors can make us They are distant from our Heavenly Father. Sometimes it's a manner of our accuser, the devil whispering in our ears and speaking his deception. At other times, these distant times turn out to be seasons when God is trying to bring us closer to himself. Sometimes it's a matter of our need to do some inner house cleaning. Come on now. Nothing can make us feel more distant from God than our own unconfessed sins. While our stumbles don't make God love us one bit less, they do drive a wedge between us and him, much like some offense can drive a wedge between even the most loving and devoted. Throughout the book of Judges, we read how Israel had sinned and drifted in its devotion to God. Many times when our hearts become entangled with sin and the things of this world, God allows us to experience a feeling of distance between him and us. This is exactly what Israel felt in those dark days. Israel should have recognized the Lord's coolness and lack of mercy. Instead, the people of God continued to worship Baal without regard for God's intimate love for them. Therefore, God allowed them to experience a time of testing. In Judges 6, we read that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Here we see a work, an important principle regarding the repentance and regaining favor with God. We must repent, and we must remember our word and our history so we don't allow it to be repeated. The hatred and bigotry and things of, oh, we cannot allow. We've got to let history be taught the way it was, not the way we wished it would have been. God's word is history. His story. When we realize our error and cry out to God, he comes to us. He never comes, however, as if being summoned by a superior. He comes when our hearts have been broken and when at last we realize we need our need for him. When we humbly confess our sins and our dependence on him, he hears our prayers and brings deliverance from sin. If you are experiencing a time of coolness in your devotion to God, don't hesitate to turn to him in prayer. Confess any known sin. Ask him to restore the sweetness of his fellowship to your heart. Hallelujah. We got to know our history. We got to know his story. We got to know who we belong to. You are children of God, and he loves you. History for God is history repeated. We don't want to repeat the sins of Sodom. We don't want to repeat the sins of those that do not know God. We cannot get into idolatry and the things that are not God. We got to reflect. And this is our prayer for this morning. And we will end with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And it says, beautiful reflection. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm, the 27th Psalm, verse 4. From the NIV, and it says, the only one, I pray, you are the one I live for as I seek after you with all my heart. The desire to know you grows ever stronger. I am so grateful for relationship that I can know you and follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I ask for a fresh revelation of your beauty. I want to see you in a way I've never seen you before. Fill my heart with the knowledge of your goodness. There is nothing that you give out of your generous heart of love that ends up being meaningless. You are full of so much grace and goodness. I can never take it all. Lord, may my life be a beautiful reflection of your life within me. Your ways are perfect, and you are making me more like you by the day. I'm so grateful. Ooh, I'm so grateful. keep it coming until I stand with you in your forever kingdom. And this is a word to think about this morning. How is the life of Jesus reflected in your life? That's a good question that we should all take heed this morning. Be grateful. Be thankful. And know that you are blessed to be a child of God. And a question again, how is the life of Jesus reflected in your life? And I ask the question as well, how is it reflected in my life? It's something to think about today. And as we wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And for those that were not able to be with us yesterday, the word yesterday was this: good morning. Don't let anyone set you off today. Be at peace. Remember, God is on your side. Hallelujah. And she said to have a mellow mind Monday. And I did. I had some time with God. I just got filled up. You know, I started listening to my word and one of the songs listened to some music as I was doing some things, and it was, God's got a blessing with your name on it. We just got to keep that in mind. And, you know, the other song that came to mind was A Move of God is on the Way. I love this from Norman Hutchins. So if you get an opportunity to go out to YouTube today, go to Norman Hutchins and just let him minister to you today, because he surely ministered to me on yesterday. And our word for this morning from our sister in Christ, that word to get us through the day, you know, that word to make you just have a good thought in your head is this: good morning. Once you stop adding up all your problems, y'all heard that right, you'll be able to start counting all your blessings. Have a terrific Tuesday. And I just like to say, let us count our blessings, as the children's song used to say. Let us count our blessings one by one. Count your blessings today. Tell your problems about your blessings. You know, and if you're looking around, you're like, Lord, I got so much to do. Just remember that just means God is giving you overflow. So thank God for the overflow. Get up and do what you can do today. You get up and do what you can do tomorrow. Get up and do what you can do on the next day. And before long, everything that you need to be done will get done a little at a time until you accomplish the goal that God has set before you. God's got you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And I pray that you got something out of this word this morning that touched your heart, that touched your mind, that touched your spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day. And as my sister said, have a terrific Tuesday, family. For God is with you. But remember, history forgotten is his story repeated. We got to know his story so history is not repeated. And I'm talking the awful things, because God is good. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. It is a wrap, y'all. Because what? It's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. The harvest is plentiful, but the labor is few. I pray that you become a laborer in the harvest, the soul harvest for God. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.